I haven't done this for such a long time. I forgot to give the time. It's gone, what is that, 22 minutes to 11 o'clock. A very good evening to you. Welcome to the show. We've been having such a great discussion about how people are coping mentally and otherwise in terms of the lockdown situation that we have at the moment. And I think that we need to somehow or other get ourselves into a situation whereby we are very well aware of the fact that if things don't improve and things don't go the way that they should be going, and that we find ourselves in a situation, of things not improving, that we will actually go back into level 5 again. I know that a number of people out in the Vietnam area, and interestingly enough, we will try and get hold of Amy. There's a number of South Africans actually out in Vietnam, in Ho Chi Minh City and in other parts of Vietnam, that are stuck in Vietnam, and they've been there for quite some time before our lockdown. And I think Vietnam has been in 3 periods of lockdown already. So, you know, we should not take this lightly, I have to stress. So, yeah, feeding your immune system, keeping healthy, keeping abreast and staying safe. Don't go out if you don't really need to go out. And then also, what is very, very important is keeping the faith during this lockdown time. You know, a number of people, as Dr. Imtiaz Hussain said there, that we are practicing the period of Ramadan and reconnecting with that, and not being able to go to mosque at night, not being able to break your fast in the mosque at night is a very, very sad thing for a number of people. It's something that people used to look forward to all the time. But, you know, for many people, faith is an extremely important part of their life, and even more so in times of crisis. Now, a moving sermon, celebratory service, community prayers, and even coming together at a church bazaar can provide inspiration and comfort when the world is filled with anxiety and uncertainty. And this is the important part of social connectivity that we were chatting about earlier on. With the nationwide lockdown still in place, you know, albeit on level 4, and places of worship closed, religious groups about the city and the world have been forced to find innovative ways to keep the faith alive at a time when social distancing, quarantine and staying at home has become the new reality for people. So from pre-recorded videos, social media, live streams and more, some have to befriend technology and sort of get used to technology, while others have sort of relied on the discipline of daily practices. Reverend Les Roermond from the St. Michael's Catholic Church, we would have loved to have chat to Maulana Abdul Khalik Ali, who is still in prayers at the moment because it is the fasting time. But we chat to Reverend Les Roermond in the meantime from the St. Michael's Catholic Church. Reverend, a very good evening to you and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Zain, and good evening to your listeners.
Reverend, this is a very sad time for everybody, who are practicing people, whether you're practicing Christian or practicing Muslim or practicing any other faith, because gatherings are banned, and, gatherings, especially church gatherings, where things become sort of part of people's lives, where they would get up and go to a church on a Wednesday, for instance, maybe on a Thursday, you know, different services. And I know that the Catholic churches have a Saturday evening service, as well as about 3 or 4 services on a Sunday morning. How has it been able, you know, how has it been for the church to actually to cope with this? And have you invented new technologies in dealing with this?
Well, it certainly has been a wake-up call, and we've been forced to quick march into the digital and technological era. There's no question about that. Who would have thought that just 2 months ago, if someone had said to me we'd be live streaming a mass on a Sunday from St. Michael's, I would literally have laughed.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just going to have a sip of water. Just give me a sip.
That's fine, yes. It has been that situation, Reverend, that, you know, people would say to you, no, man, you know, we actually take the church and the mosque and every other religious institution, we kind of took it for granted for very, very long, and now we actually realize how big a part of our lives it is.
Yeah, and so that's another side of it, actually, in that the inability to now go to church, for example, I do believe is creating a hunger. a hunger for community, a hunger for the sacraments, a hunger to worship with others and not just alone. So I think everybody is edging towards, is very on edge to get back to that as soon as possible. But that doesn't seem to be in the short term horizon anyway. Mm. But another side of it is that faith, solitude is essential for faith.
Yeah.
So while faith needs both, community, it needs a community and solidarity. It needs solitude. It needs silence. Sometimes we shout and scream and it makes so much noise that we can't hear God's voice. And while I think we're quite good on the sort of community side, which we, would do at our, we have a daily mass at St. Michael's and then the four masses on the weekends. And I think we're quite good at that. I think a bit scared of the solo faith. In other words, facing God by ourselves. When those big, ugly, hairy questions come up, who am I? What am I doing? Am I really serving God in my life, et cetera, et cetera. But it actually is essential. For a resilient faith, it is essential. And I think that this time that we're in is giving people that opportunity to do just that. And so one of the other things that we do is we send out a daily reflection devotion that's just called Discipleship During COVID-19, which goes out every morning to anyone that's subscribed to it, which gives them a bit of prayer, a bit of reading, a bit of spiritual reading, and then a little bit of guidance on perhaps meditation or reflection, stuff to think about, to keep centered, in other words, to stay present with today rather than the anxiety of tomorrow. Mm. And that seems to have had quite a good response as well. Now, that's also something we would never have dreamed that we would be doing just, 2 months ago.
Mm. Chatting to Reverend Les Rouront, and he's the Reverend at the St. Michael's Catholic Church. And I know that mother-in-law sits and she waits for, the Facebook to go live and the Mass to be screened on a Saturday morning and on a Sunday morning. And everybody is sort of quiet in the house and things like that. So it is actually good that you have this transference from what would normally happen in the church to actually happen at home. And for people to start realizing that, first of all, guidance from Allah or guidance from God is absolutely essential now more than ever. And then also on the other hand, again, to realize that, your home is also the actual church where this can start.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, if anything, perhaps we've become more aware of that. This whole idea of, and speaking, in terms of Christian terms, this whole idea of being Christ to each other. In other words, being looking outside of ourselves and being forced perhaps to be a little bit more compassionate and more kind and more tolerant than perhaps we were when we were all living very busy lives with manic schedules.
And in times of this uncertainty and in times of worry, stress, anxiety and things like that, people will always feel that, the coronavirus comes between them and their faith. And how do people overcome that anxiety and fear?
The starting place is the relationship with God. So if we start from a place which just imagine yourself just sitting and feeling the presence of God, feeling God within you and God without you. And so this absolute surety, this certainty of being God's beloved is the starting place. So together we can do anything. We can handle anything. So that's why you need a resilient faith. Because then nothing should actually disrupt your relationship with God, because there are going to be many other hardships through life as well. It's this romanticized faith, which is, I think, is an issue, which, we have this image of an elderly bearded man showering blessings on some and withholding blessings from others. Mm. And I think people with this sort of romanticized faith will find that their faith is rattled a little bit. And they'll be asking those questions like, why me? Or how can a good God do something like this? You know, and all of that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. But chatting this evening to the Reverend at St. Michael's Catholic Church, and we wanted to find out exactly how people are keeping their faith and keeping themselves spiritually alive during this particular time. And we're chatting to Reverend Les Roermond. And even with the doors closed, religious organizations can still be vital partners in transmitting accurate scientific information. And, you know, what messages should religious leaders be sending out there at this time?
Faith, hope, and charity. It's almost as simple as that. But probably more than anything, it would just simply be love. That more than ever, your reserves of love are going to be challenged by your partner, by your wife, your husband, your mother, your father, your children, grandchildren, whatever. It really is a challenging time for many of us. And the discipline, we all have to learn a new discipline. We had the discipline of, well, I get up, I do this, and I go there, and I do this, and then I come home and do et cetera, et cetera. And suddenly we've got a new discipline. And that discipline is as essential for our spiritual health as it is for our mental health.
Chatting this evening to Reverend Les Roermond, and he is the Reverend at St. Michael's Catholic Church. Reverend, thank you so much for chatting to us this evening. And I think, you know, we have the challenges that are out there, and, you know, the church has overcome many of these challenges. And as you said, it is not only for us to walk to the church and think that, that is the be all and the end all, that when we are in church, that is our prayer and that is our religion, and that is where it evolves. It has evolved to a lot more with this particular challenge of COVID-19. And we wish you and everybody else in the St. Michael's Catholic Church everything of the best going forward.
Thank you, and the same to you. If I can just leave you perhaps with a quote from a 15th century hermit. She was apparently quite an incredible woman, Julian of Norwich, where she said, speaking about her relationship with God, "All will be well, and all will be well, and all manner of things will be well."
That's,
God bless you.
God bless you, Reverend Les Roermond, and that's the Reverend at the St. Michael's Catholic Church. So thank you so much. And we thought we'd take a look at both sides of it, because it is a very important month for Muslims. It's actually started a little while ago. I think we are in day 9. Of Ramadan, the day 9 of the fast, and we also thought that we'd get Maulana Abdul Khalik Ibrahim Ali on the line this evening. He's the Deputy President of the Muslim Judicial Council, the MJC, in Cape Town. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ramadan Kareem to you and to all the listeners of Cape Talk.
Thank you so much. Maulana, it is a difficult time because, you know, we are placed in this situation, and I know that there's been a lot of outcry to open mosques and to do this, and, you know, there's been Supreme Court hearings and everything, but to cut to the chase of it all, Ramadan is most of it is the fact that it's fast and, you know, all the other things that go with it, but Ramadan is also a very interactive time for Muslims. When you get to the mosque at iftar for breaking fast and your tarawih prayers and things like that, how have the MJC and you know the mosques in the areas, how have they been able to overcome this?
Thanks a lot for the opportunity, and let us start by saying yes, indeed, the month of Ramadan is a month of great blessings, and it is a month of generosity and outreach to the broader community and society, and to draw from the Almighty. So whilst there's suspension on congregations, obviously people are not able to come together in any way at the mosques across the country. And this particular situation has created other opportunities. So whilst on the one hand There are challenges, and indeed it is challenging and undeniable. It is challenging for all people, and specifically those that frequent the mosques on daily basis. But the opportunities that has come by the fact that we have to be homebound, we have to be interacting with our families, we have created, and that is via social media and via various platforms, to be able to hold on to the very religious dimensions of the month of Ramadan within our safe spaces at home, and to create those particular very practicalities that would take place at the mosque within the space with the family at our homes.
Chatting this evening to Maulana Abdul Khalik Ibrahim Ali, the Deputy President of the MJC, how important is spiritual well-being during this particular period, not only in the period of Ramadan, but in the period of lockdown, which sort of preceded Ramadan?
So the fact of the matter is, you know, in this global climate that we find ourselves in, it is undeniable that there is a need for us to be connecting with the Supreme Being, with Allah Almighty. And for us to gain that inner strength, when we consider the fact that various communities are challenged in various ways, when we read the glorious Quran, when we study history, we find ourselves in this particular 21st century. There had been many plagues and pandemics and many challenges upon godly people, on people in the past, and therefore the history and studying history and understanding how people have overcome all of those particular challenges is absolutely so very critical and important. And so the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the life of Abraham, the life of Moses, their challenges are so very applicable today to us, to reflect on their lives and be able to see the type of resistance or resilience, or the type of perseverance and steadfastness that was shown during those particular eras of difficulties and hardships. What were those elements and characteristics that has brought people through those particular challenges of their times? It is precisely today, in our era, this, what we are enduring here and what we're experiencing, is unprecedented. It is new. We were perhaps not even prepared for it. We have been placed in this particular situation. Whilst being where we are today, we are learning all the time as we continue. And therefore, it requires a great amount of tolerance and understanding from all of us, because it is new. It is a scenario and a situation that now that we are where we are in, we now need to be able to draw in the necessary tools. And one of those greatest tools is for all of us to connect with our with God Almighty. Yeah. And hence the month of Ramadan has come at a very critical time that we believe for humanity at large, because we see Islam as a blessing, the Prophet Muhammad being sent as a mercy unto all mankind and to all creation. And so the teachings of his is meant by adhering to that to help us through these particular challenging times.
0214460567, if you have any contribution to make to your spiritual well-being, doesn't matter which faith you are about and which faith you belong to, you can send us a WhatsApp message to 0725671567. Well, one of the biggest concerns for me is that during this particular time of Ramadan, for instance, there are a number of people who reach out, and a number of organizations who reach out to the more vulnerable in our community, which is the homeless, the poor, the destitute, and those who actually really don't have. And they do this by virtue of soup kitchens. They do this by virtue of food parcels. They do this by virtue of a number of things. And I know that, you know, the fitra is given, and that fitra is then converted into food parcels and granted to people just across the spectrum, not necessarily only to Muslim people, but also to other people over the spectrum, you know, to people who were sort of indigent, and those food parcels are handed out. How will you overcome that particular challenge when you, you know, don't have that situation where you can congregate with a lot of people and pack these food parcels, or where the lady who normally gives the soup out at the soup kitchen is not able to do that anymore?
You know, it is quite phenomenal to see how the Muslim community has responded, like other communities. Prior to the month of Ramadan, the Muslim community across the country has come together, what is known as a South African, as a Muslim's COVID-19 team. And in this particular regard, I can give the surety to our fellow South Africans that the Muslim community has reached out beyond their limits. And the reason for that is because that is the very teaching of Islam. So we will adhere to lockdown regulations, and we must adhere to lockdown regulations. And when we exit, we must be able to be compliant to what is required from us. And with all of those particular regulations, the Muslim community had continued giving and reaching out. Today, we have had opportunities of reaching out and across the country. Yeah. And therefore, our relief institutions, organizations like South African National Zakah Fund, that is a home brand name, the Islamic Relief, Muslim Hands, and Mustadafin, they reach out. Yesterday, I spoke with Dr. Anwar Nagia. He mentioned to me the thousands of food that they reach out to the community. So, indeed, it is challenged, but at the same time, it really shows the spirit of goodness that is prevalent within our community. And we need to celebrate that spirit of goodness.
Balana Abdul Khalik Ibrahim Ali, who is the Deputy President of the MJC, thank you so much for being with us this evening.